Good evening, everyone. We're very glad to see you at our midweek service tonight. We thank you sincerely for your presence. The hymn 512 is our opening hymn tonight. There's a little issue with these front screens. So you've been given hymn books. It's 383 is the page, 512 is the hymn. Great words of Charles Wesley's, "Give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain." So 512, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. Give me the child like praying love which longs to build thy house again. Thy love let in my heart o'erpour, and all my yearning soul divine. We're going to bow in prayer together. Let's just seek the Lord's face. Our Heavenly Father, we do draw nigh to Thee in prayer. We ask that the hand of God will be upon our meeting tonight. Come and put Your hand upon each one of us. We ask Thee, Father, to prepare us and to make us ready for this service. We pray that You'll make our hearts ready. We ask, Father, that You would even touch our ears tonight to hear the things that You would say to us. We pray, Father, that our hearts might be open, even to receive the Word of God, to receive those things that You might say to us. We rejoice that we're here this evening. We want to thank You, Father, for Your goodness today, Your goodness and mercy that each of us have experienced afresh today. And Lord, we want to thank You for enabling us to come to the house of God. We're glad that we can come aside. We thank You for the place of prayer. Thank You for the burden of prayer upon the hearts of Your people that has brought each one to this meeting tonight. And Lord, help us to lift our hearts to Thee, to cry to Thee. Pray that You'll bless the meeting and bless all that are gathered in the meeting. We want to ask, Father, that each of us will know the blessing of the Lord to rest upon us. We want to pray that You'll bless the homes and families of all that are gathered here tonight. And Lord, our desire is that You'll teach us, that You'll speak to us, that You'll lead us on with Yourself, that You'll build us up in the things of God, that You'll prepare us for greater service, that You'll mould our lives even for greater usefulness in the service of the Master. Lord, we want to lift before Thee the outreaches of the church. Remember the Sabbath night meetings through the summer. Lord, we rejoice in Your goodness, the prayer that has been answered, the weather that You've granted, the visitors that have been attending. Lord, we give Thee praise for prayer that has been answered. We're asking that You'll put Your seal very clearly upon those meetings in the saving of the lost. Father, there's some in that community even heavy upon the heart, saved, not right with God. And Lord, we want to ask earnestly that there will be a work of salvation done in hearts. We ask Thee to speak on, to strive on. Even as we considered in the Sabbath night past, we thank You for the power and the Saviour's blood. And Lord, our desire would be that there will be some that will plunge beneath that fountain and be washed clean, washed whiter than the snow. We thank, Father, of the outreach that has been conducted over this last week. We think of the team that went forth last night. And Lord, we rejoice in Your goodness, the help that was known. We thank, Father, of so many homes that were visited, the literature that has been put into each of those homes. And, O God, we're crying that You'll use it. We're asking that You'd speak through it. Lord, we recognize the day in which we live in. Remember the Saviour in that parable of the sower, told of the different grounds, the condition of different hearts. And Lord, we're conscious that there's much stony ground in the days in which we live, that there's so many that are hardened against Thee and against Your word and against the message of the gospel. And it's only the power of God, the power of Thy Spirit, it's only the word of God applied in the power of the Holy Ghost that we'll be able to speak to those hearts and to deal with them. And Lord, we're asking that You'll use Your word. The word of God is not bound. Your word is the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And Lord, we do lift our city to Thee. Lord, we're grieved, we're concerned for those that are indifferent, even, Father, those that are strongly opposed to the message of the gospel. Our prayer would be that You would speak to those people. We ask, Father, that You'd work on their hearts. We want to ask that in this city there will be a great work of God done. We want to pray, Father, that some of those who are known and noted for their sin and for their blasphemy, even against God, would be converted and would be made great trophies of grace, even in coming days. So bless, Father, all of that outreach. We're mindful of next week, the plans, the preparations for Killaloe, for an outreach there amongst the children, the boys and girls. Lord, we want to plead that your hand would be upon those meetings. We ask thee to guide and control the weather. We ask thee, Father, to bring the children out. We ask for help to be given. Lord, preserve those meetings. Put your hand upon them. May the hand of God rest upon those meetings in a very definite way. And Lord, we ask that it might even be a time of visitation in Killaloe amongst the children. So Lord, answer our cries and continue to use us. Use us each one. Use us as a church, as a congregation, as a fellowship. O God, help us in all of these manners and in others too, to bear a great witness for Christ and his gospel in this locality. We offer our prayers to thee, asking just that you'll abide with us and even draw graciously near to us now around the word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Luke 24 tonight, reading some verses together. The 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Beginning to read verse 36. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. The 24th chapter is the final chapter of Luke's Gospel. And we're at the 36th verse. So let's hear the word of the Lord at our hearts tonight. Luke 24, verse 36. The scriptures tell us, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Remember, we highlighted a few weeks ago, those are the three main divisions, three main parts of the Old Testament scriptures. He speaks there, were written in the law. Those are the books of Moses, in the prophets, the major and the minor, and also the Psalms division, with the Jews covered much more than the actual book of Psalms. The writings is another term that's used, or the Psalms literally, they're the writings. So those are the three main divisions of the Old Testament. So he says, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this, the reading of his word. We're in verse 47 of this chapter, where it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. The words there at the end of verse 47, that little statement, beginning at Jerusalem. We had thought a few weeks ago at these midweek services about giving the Word of God its rightful place. 2 weeks ago we thought about giving the work of God its rightful place. Tonight I want us to think about giving the witness of God, or the witness for God, its rightful place. It ties in with the whole testimony of the church, but especially even if you think of the outreach that has been conducted again in recent weeks. Think about witnessing. It's a clear command, clearly taught in the scriptures, that as believers we are to be a witness. It's a role that each of us have, not just for the leaders of the church, but every member of the church is to be a witness for the Lord. The final words of the Saviour before he ascended, Acts 1 verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. So I want you to think tonight about being a witness for the Lord. As a congregation, being a witness for the Lord in this community. But there's a particular question in connection with witnessing we want to ponder together, and that is, where do you begin? Where should you start all of your witnessing for the Saviour? To whom do you go first, or where do you commence? I'd like you to think of that personally tonight. I'd like us to consider it together as a church as well. So where do you commence this great task that's clearly set forth and taught for us in the Word of God? Well, this text gives us the answer to that question. And the answer is Jerusalem, that repentance and remission of sins. Remember that's teaching about the witness, the telling forth, the setting forth of the gospel message, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. It's a global message. The Lord has given us a global work. But he tells us where we're to start, where to begin, beginning at Jerusalem. So we're to commence our witness for the Lord, the Saviour says here, in Jerusalem. Now I know automatically many will think, but we don't live in Israel, we don't live in the Middle East, we don't live anywhere near the physical, literal city of Jerusalem, so we're not able to start physically in that location. So how do we understand this text? How do we apply these words to our own hearts, to our own circumstances tonight? Where is my Jerusalem, if we could put it like that? So let us think about that this evening. I want you to think of what sort of place Jerusalem actually was. And as we do that, we'll see how to apply this text, how to apply this principle to our own hearts. Let me suggest to you tonight what sort of place Jerusalem actually is. For one thing, it was a Jewish place. Jerusalem is undoubtedly, clearly, a Jewish city, mainly, even to this day, occupied by Jews. You find it in the land of Israel. It has the Jewish temple, or the remains of the Jewish temple, still within it. So Jerusalem is clearly a Jewish place. So the message, when the Saviour says, begin at Jerusalem, the message is, begin with the Jews. Begin your witness with the Jewish people, first and foremost. And that is taught in the Word of God. It's a clear principle set out in the Scriptures. First and foremost, we're to reach the Jews with the message of the gospel. Our attitude or our outlook ought not to be everyone else first, and then the Jews after, or the Jews last, if we have time to fit that in, to witness to them later. The Saviour taught, and is teaching to us here, that we're to begin our testimony, our preaching, our witnessing of the gospel with the Jews. Witness to them first. If you can't find any Jews in your area, sometimes that is the case. Years back, some of the major cities across Europe, some of the major cities in our land had very strong Jewish communities within them that afforded the opportunity of outreach. But if there's no Jews in your community, then find missionaries to the Jews, reputable missionaries, those that you have confidence in. Pray for those people. Give to those missionaries, to those missionary organizations first, to help them, to strengthen them in the testimony that they're making. Do you remember that Paul taught that the message is to the Jew first? You're familiar with those words. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So there's the clear principle stated by the apostle in the opening chapter of the book of Romans. He taught it in his message. He also taught it in his manner. In Acts, we're told his manner was to go into the synagogues. That's what Paul did in his missionary journeys. In every place that he went to, in every city that he entered into, the first place that he went to preach the gospel was the Jewish synagogue. So he's setting us there a clear pattern to follow. So remember that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. That's where the burden of his ministry lay. But he began all of his work in every place with the Jews. So he's setting us a very clear and strong example. So who first, brethren and sisters? The Jew first. Mr. Spurgeon put it like this: we say the West Indies first. We say Asia first. We say Africa first. But the Word of God says the Jew first. And that's something that we ought never to forget. So Jerusalem is a Jewish place. As we think of giving our witness for God its rightful place, remember Jerusalem is a Jewish place. Remember too that it's the home place or the local place. Jerusalem was the capital city of the country. It was, as you think of the disciples that the Savior was speaking to there, it was their home city. He was talking to them about beginning the witness in their home country. So the Savior is also teaching us here to begin at home. You're to begin your work, all your work, all your labors, all your efforts, all your witness for Christ where you are, in your own country and in your own community. That's where the Lord wants you to start to spread the gospel, brethren and sisters. Begin with your own people. Begin with your own family, your own kinsmen, your own relatives, your own neighbors, your own friends. And I want you to stop for a moment and ask yourself, have you done that? Have you been engaged in that work? Did you start your labors, your work for Christ among your friends and your family? You remember the Savior said to the man of Gadara, he was keen to join the Lord Jesus, keen to join the band of disciples. He wanted to go with the Lord Jesus on his itinerant ministry. But the Savior gave him a very clear instruction. Go home. Go home to your friends. Go home to your family. And tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. So the Savior's teaching us there very clearly where we're all to start. That's the first place that we're to go to. We're to go to our home, to our own family, to our own friends, and tell them of Christ and what he has done in our lives. Remember Andrew, one of the disciples, one of those disciples who had a relative that was part of the apostolic band as well. There was a number of them. That's a very interesting study in itself. But in John's Gospel, the first chapter, we're told about Andrew. After he came to Christ, he first, isn't that interesting, the word that's used there? He first findeth his own brother. Isn't that very challenging? Isn't that very significant, brethren and sisters? After he came to the Lord, after he experienced the joy himself of sins forgiven, the first thing he did, the first person he went to, the first person that he sought out to tell of what had happened, what the Lord had done in his life, was his own brother, his own family member. He started at home in his witness of the gospel. You think of Barnabas. Remember Barnabas, the great encourager of the New Testament church. Barnabas that accompanied the Apostle Paul on the first missionary journey. Did you ever notice where they went to first of all? Whenever they were set aside by the church at Antioch and then they were let go to set out on their travels, the first place they went to was Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, still familiar to us today and still known by that name. You can read about it yourself in Acts chapter 13. Do you know why that's so significant in the light of what we're thinking about now? Well, for the fact that Barnabas came from Cyprus, Acts chapter 4, right there at the very end of the chapter, it says he was of the country of Cyprus. Barnabas was a Cypriot. So you think of the great missionary journey that he and Paul set out on together. And where was the first place that they went to? It was home. Barnabas went to his own home, to his own home island, and no doubt to his own home community. He first went to his home, brethren and sisters. And that's where the Lord wants us to begin as well. Isn't it true, in life in general, we tend to neglect home? The builder can neglect his own home, doing so much work around the country, the cobbler. Remember the old saying about the cobbler's children going barefoot? The man that's the gardener attends everybody else's garden, and sometimes his own can get a little wild. We tend to neglect home. But don't be like that, brethren and sisters, in the things of God. Don't neglect your home, your family, and your witness for Christ. And remember, in the same context, that God will not use you elsewhere. God will not use you in any other place, in any other land, until you first proved yourself at home, in your own home church, and among your own home community. So Jerusalem was, first of all, a Jewish place. It was the home place. It was also a wicked place. Do you remember when the Savior stood on the Mount of Olives and he wept over the city? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Imagine that. They killed the prophets, the men of God. Gives us an indication of the wickedness of that place, the wickedness of the people of that place. And remember that even more, the greatest wickedness of all, the greatest wickedness that this world has ever known, took place at Jerusalem, because it was there that they crucified the Savior, the one who was the very Son of God. Peter said in one of his sermons in Jerusalem, "Ye with wicked hands," see the words he used, "with wicked hands have crucified and slain." So Jerusalem was a wicked place. It was a place that was black with sin. They may have thought to themselves, "Don't go there. That's too hard a place. That's too sinful. That's too wicked a place to bring the message of the gospel." But the Savior clearly instructed them, "That's where you're to start. In that very sinful city, that's where I want you to first go and be a witness for me." And remember when the disciples witnessed in Jerusalem, it was there that 3,000 souls were saved. It's not a tremendous thing. What a difference that must have made. How that must have transformed the entire community. Just think of the difference that one message preached in the power, the fullness of the Holy Ghost, the difference that that can make in one city. Think that a little later, 5,000 more were converted. God was at work in that city, in that community, in a mighty way. So what an encouragement, brethren and sisters. And the lesson to us tonight is that no one and nowhere is too wicked for the gospel to be preached. No person and no place is too wicked to hear the good news of what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. We may think to ourselves, we should start somewhere else. Start with the decent, the respectable, the upright people. But the Savior says, no, begin at Jerusalem. You begin with the wicked people in your spread of the gospel. Do you remember when the Lord sent Jonah to the city of Nineveh? Do you remember what the Lord said when he gave Jonah the commission to go there? He said, their wickedness has come up before me. So the Lord sent the prophet to be a witness in a wicked place, among a wicked people, in a wicked city, and especially in chapter 3, their violence, how relevant that is. Think of our own land. Think of what's happening out there in Afghanistan at the present. It said their hands were filled with violence. And that's the very place, the very people the Lord first sent his prophet to preach to. So go to the chief of sinners. Go to the worst of men. That's a statement, men and women, in the confidence that we have in the power of the message, the power of the gospel to change and to translate, or to change and transform lives. Search out the biggest sinner in your family, the biggest sinner in your workplace, the biggest sinner in your street, in your area, in your community, and first witness to them for Jesus Christ. Go for sinners and go for the worst. That's how it's often summed up. May the Lord give us a vision of that. May it grip our hearts tonight afresh. The idea is the worst first. Just those two words. May the Lord burn that into your heart tonight. The worst first. That's the place to begin to witness for Christ. Think as well that Jerusalem was a populated place. The city of Jerusalem was full of people. There was a great number of souls. Keep in mind, it was the capital of Israel. It was the biggest city in the country. And the message that the Savior is giving here is, start in the areas of greatest population. In other words, where you can reach the greatest numbers, where the message can have the greatest effect, the greatest impact. It's true that we should seek to reach one soul for Christ. Never lose sight of the value of one soul and witnessing to one soul for the Savior. But also, men and women, we should seek to reach as many souls as we can for Christ. So I want you to consider that tonight. How do we do that? How do we reach as many souls as we can for the Lord Jesus? We'll begin at Jerusalem. Begin in the places of greatest population. You think of Paul and his missionary journeys. Why did Paul go to places like Athens and Ephesus? Why did he travel to the city of Philippi, the first entrance of the gospel into this continent of Europe, in the Roman province of Macedonia? The scriptures actually say of Philippi, it was the chief city in that area. Isn't that interesting? So why did he do that? Why did he choose those places? It was because they were the areas of greatest population. So why did he go to the synagogues? Why did he go into the marketplaces? Well, they were the places where they could reach most people with their message, with their testimony for Christ. You have the same truth taught in the Old Testament scriptures. That great 36th chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah, all about the word of God. And Jeremiah plainly instructed his scribe, Baruch, to go to the temple. And he was to go to the temple on the fasting day, as it's described there in that chapter, the fast day. So why was that? Why go to the temple? Why particularly go on the fast day? Well, that was a day when the temple would be crowded. The most people would be present. The most people would be there to hear the message that the Lord's servant had to proclaim. So begin at Jerusalem, brethren and sisters. Begin where you can reach the greatest number of people, the greatest number of souls for the Master. That's why we look for open doors to preach the gospel on the radio, the television, get messages into the newspapers, go into the schools and so forth of the community. We want to preach. We want to witness as a church to as many people as we can. Let me mention another to you, very relevant one, especially in the light of all that's happening in the news. Jerusalem was a cosmopolitan place. In other words, it was a city of many different peoples, many different nationalities, people from all countries, many different countries, many different ethnic backgrounds. If you take the time to read Acts chapter 2, the great chapter about the day of Pentecost, especially verses 9 to 11, you will find that there were 16 nationalities that were present in Jerusalem when Peter preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. Isn't that tremendous? 16 nationalities. And they stretched all across the Mediterranean region. In fact, all across the Roman Empire. They stretched right from Rome in the west to Egypt in the east. So Jerusalem, truly, clearly, was a cosmopolitan place. There were people there from all different nations, all different backgrounds, all different countries. They came to the feasts and they heard the gospel. Some of them got saved, and then they went back to their community. They went back to their country as a witness for Christ. And the result was, in that way, the gospel was carried to that region, to that area. It was carried all across the Roman Empire. You just think of it. 16 nations reached with one sermon. Isn't that tremendous? Well, how was that? Well, because they began in Jerusalem, they began their testimony for Christ in a cosmopolitan city like Jerusalem. You think of Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. He went back from Jerusalem and he got saved on the journey. And Africa heard the gospel. He became a witness for Christ in Africa. You think of Paul's time in the city of Ephesus. Remember, it was a busy place. People there from all over Asia came to Ephesus. And the New Testament, the book of Acts, actually records that through Paul's testimony, his time in that city, that all Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. It's not a staggering statement. Think of the impact of his life, the impact of his ministry there in that city. You think of Lydia, that was converted, the first convert there by the riverside in Philippi. She was of the city of Thyatira. Do you remember that Paul was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia? Wasn't allowed. The Lord closed that door. But when he went to Philippi, the first convert was a convert from Thyatira there in the city of Asia. What is modern-day Turkey? So, brethren and sisters, begin in Jerusalem. Begin in the cosmopolitan place. The gospel in that way will have a vast, far-reaching impact. In the land of Wales, one of the events that has great prominence, it takes cycles, it's called the Eisteddfod. It's the great cultural singing festival of Wales. People come from all over the world. Welsh people, people with Welsh connections, they come to the Eisteddfod. It's moved around the country when it's held. When we lived in Wales, it came to Llanelli, just beside us. Lasts for about a week, sometimes a little more. So we made a concerted effort, a little congregation, to go down to the Eisteddfod. We ordered in Welsh calendars, Welsh literature to give out to the folk as they were going in to the Eisteddfod. In fact, when they got the Welsh calendar from the TBS, they thought it was one of the official publications of the Eisteddfod. They were very, very glad to get it, and we didn't make them any the wiser. You look for opportunities. You look for places, events that are taking place where people are coming from all over the world to have a great impact for the gospel. Think of the youth council of our denomination. Whenever the Olympic Games was in London, that group of young people, I think they sent half a ton of gospel literature over to London at that time to distribute. And you think of how that literature was scattered all across the earth. You think of cities like Dublin and Cork. So many people, so many nationalities, so many languages that are spoken. There's great literature work, track work been done in those places. Tracks been given out in so many languages. You think of, as well of going to places like the ports. The ports are great places to witness because of people from many, so many nationalities. You think even of Armagh. Armagh is now such a city, a cosmopolitan city. There's people here from so many nationalities. You think of the refugees that God is bringing. He's bringing the nations of the world to us, bringing the nations of the world into this country, even into this province of Ulster, and even into this city of Armagh. And never lose sight of the fact it presents a vast, a great opportunity to reach those people, and through them to reach their country, their nation, with the message of the gospel as well. I'll finish just with this thought. Jerusalem was a place that didn't have much time. What do you mean by that? Or where do you get that idea? Well, remember that in Acts chapter 8, there was a time of persecution. And the church was scattered. Believers were driven out. They were driven out of Jerusalem. And they were driven out into other regions and into other areas, into other lands. And then a few years later, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. And the opportunity for the witness of the gospel in that city was gone. It was a city that didn't have much time. And brethren and sisters, we need to begin as well with those who do not have much time. You think of those who are old, maybe don't have long to live. Those that are nearing eternity. Think of Nicodemus. He was an old man when he came to Christ. Well, we need to think of those who are old and on in years, maybe some that are going to move, going to be leaving this area, moving far away, perhaps emigrating to another land because of their job and because of their family. You may never see them again, may never have the opportunity to speak to them, to witness to them again. So begin with those who do not have much time. So giving our witness for God its rightful place. Where do you start witnessing, speaking for Christ, bearing testimony? The Word of God says we begin at Jerusalem. So I pray the Lord will speak to our hearts, challenges, even write that great truth on all of our hearts tonight. 511.